Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, child care needed. Also, helping children or big tobacco. And the legislative session is coming to an end.
I'm getting out of here.
Johnny!
Zombies? It can happen right here. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, guys.
Hey, we got to send out some props. Congratulations to Jonathan Barbee, who won 4 Telly Awards.
He's our producer of the show.
Our producer of the show won 4 Telly Awards. And
that's pretty big.
Congratulations, Jonathan. We're very proud of you. Josh, something that we have no reason to be proud of in our state is that Representative David Cole, who won an election to represent District 10, is now under oath on some issues that are critical. In other words, David Cole, as we all know, claimed to have lived in District 10 when he ran for his House seat. Now, facts dug up by APR, Josh Moon specifically, revealed that David Cole apparently doesn't live in District 10, although he's still claiming he did at the time.
For a year.
But Josh, the law is very clear. And Mr. Cole has is still sticking with the story, but he just told the court that, he couldn't remember ever staying a night there, and he didn't know if he'd ever eaten a meal in that house. How is this not voter fraud?
I would love to hear an explanation for how it's not voter fraud, I'll be honest. On his filing paperwork, he put down an address that was in District 10 to qualify to run for office a year prior to the general election, which is the deadline under state law. And as it turns out, that address was actually owned by another man as a family friend of the Coles. And Cole claimed that he rented space for that to become his true and permanent residence.
But
you're right. Under oath, during the deposition, he admitted to never. He could not recall spending a night there. Could not recall eating a meal there. Did not move any furniture or belongings there. His family stayed at the previous residence that they had, that is located in House District 4. And to date, they still own that and still pay all of the property taxes on that homestead. And I'll say that he has been viewed at that home by people as late as last week. So, you tell me. It seems like a pretty clear case that he's not living in the district in which he was elected to represent.
Well, I'll tell you what the important thing is here. It was Republicans talking about, true elections and voter fraud and all of this, and they're letting this slide. Now, we're getting down to the end of the legislation session for this year, and they still have not had any proceedings to try to correct this problem or to call him to own up to it. In fact, they tried to put it into a bill where it would be able to slide for Mr. Cole to be able to do this, so saying that once the election was certified, it was unquestionable.
Yeah.
Now, talking about unquestionable when you've got somebody living in one district and lying on forms, committing fraud, quite honestly, and saying that he did live in another district. And they're going to let this slide?
Josh, I don't think they get to it this legislative session, and it has to go before the House of Representatives here in Alabama.
Yeah, I'm on it. To be honest with you, I'm not sure of the process. And it is a pretty rare thing for one to advance to this level. And so I'm not really sure what the process would be at this point. Now, it's my understanding, I think there is some process that is in place that would kind of force them to take some action, whether it be, I'm not saying take action against Cole, but some action to decide, to determine the election challenge in this case. But you're right, you know, and Republicans that I've spoken with, several, have said this kind of puts them in a bad position because they have talked a lot about election integrity over the course of the last couple of years, and talked about, you know, doing things to shore up election integrity. And now you're confronted with this issue where it seems as though, at best, this address was not, he never lived at the address, even if he intended to live at the address.
Well, I mean, in Alabama, laws passed by Republicans and some passed by Democrats in the past make it illegal to lie about where you live
yes.
when you vote in an election. It yes. is an illegal act.
Yes.
But somehow this guy is trying to get away with illegally obtaining an election, an office, allegedly, by not living where he said he lives. That,
right.
You know, I mean, that's not an arguable defense in my mind.
No, it's not. It's not a defense at all. And the people would stand up for that. I don't understand it, because you're absolutely right. If you vote out of district purposefully, if you lie and say you live at an address where you don't live in order to vote in an election that's happening in another district and you don't live there, that's illegal. And, you know, and people, you could go to jail for that. And that's,
yeah,
it's such a farce to hear people screaming about election integrity and to have them, you know, try to bail this guy out on the backside of this.
Right. Well, I tell you what is interesting, you know, the legislature is pretty much set to pass a law that would make it illegal for anybody to help another individual with their absentee ballot. Unless they were direct family member, or they now, this looks like it's going to pass without any problem. And so it's illegal for me to help my neighbor with an absentee ballot, but David Cole can get by with this, at least for now.
Now they went in and put an amendment in there that says, if you're blind, you can't, if the first voter is blind and they can't read or write, or they're disabled, but that in itself is extremely vague.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's extremely vague, and honestly, I don't understand how this isn't a pretty clear cut First Amendment issue. You know, a freedom of speech issue. I mean, who are you to tell me that I can't go and help my neighbor fill out an absentee ballot? What words I can and cannot say to my neighbor? You know, who are you to tell me these things? That's nonsense. I mean, I understand filling the ballot out for them improperly. Yes, I get that. If that's an allegation from the voter whose ballot you filled out, I get that completely. But to say that I can't go next door and say, here, Ms. Johnson, let me help you fill out your ballot, that's nonsense.
This is nothing more than pandering to the lowest denomination of the Republican Party, who still believes that Donald Trump won the 2020 election. We'll be right back. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
When I first started off, it was all about being an entrepreneur. Very quickly, it went into all the environmental impact that we're having on our world right now. We needed a technology that could do something with all the plastics that are harder to recycle. We innovated and created a technology, advanced recycling.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, you know, I have often said anytime the lawmakers come out and say, well, this bill is to help the children, you got to look deeply behind it, because generally it's to help themselves or somebody else. It's almost never to help the children. But if you tag that on there, then people go, oh, it's to help the children. So a bill, HB 319 and SB 271 by Mary Moore and Garland Gudger. I think these people have sincerely good intentions. I don't think that either one of them have any ill intent in what they've done. But they're basically carrying a bill that was written by Big Tobacco, in that it will not only confuse the laws concerning e-cigarettes, it also now punishes anyone under 21 who purchases an e-cigarette product in the state of Alabama with fines and charges.
Right, up to a $200 fine, suffer the loss of their driver's license, and be placed under juvenile court jurisdiction over an e-cigarette. But yet, the person that sold them to them may get a fine.
Josh, I'm not questioning the sincerity of the folks that brought this bill, but we know now that lobbyists for RJR, Reynolds, were helping to push this bill, and also a lobbyist for Children First, the great organization that helps kids in Alabama with policy, and that also allocates the tobacco fund. The lobbyist for Children First also lobbies for the lobbyist of R.J. Reynolds, and she also received $147,000 or more from RJR.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I want to say one thing. I think you said it was Mary Moore's bill, and it's Barbara Drummond's
Barbara Drummond. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I spoke with Barbara Drummond about it. I'll stand up for her some here with it, and say, you know, I feel like she has good intentions. She wants to do something good, and I know her, and I know that I know where her heart is on things, and so I feel like she has good intentions and wants to do what's right, and I feel like she the bill kind of is a compromise sort of thing. That's the way she presented it, was, you know, she didn't feel like she could get anything passed unless she worked with a bunch of different groups, and she did. She worked with Aaliyah and other groups and organizations, and the fact that Garland Gudger, a Republican, is carrying the bill in the Senate kind of speaks to the fact that it's a bipartisan effort. And so I get that. I'm with you. I have a lot of trouble with where the fines were placed, who was being fined, and where a lot of the onus was on the kids and putting kids in juvenile. And I think they went too far in that regard. They did reel it back some, because they were going to put them in regular criminal court, and they instead put them to juvenile court. So that is a step in the right direction, at least. But, I feel like in this bill, and Barbara Drummond would say and said to me, you know, this, it's not a perfect bill. Nobody's going to get 100 out of this, but it's a bill that we feel like we could get passed at this point to kind of curb what's happening. And, you know, to me, the best thing to do would be to find the people more extensively who are selling the products.
That's right.
You know, at the point of purchase, you know, find those people and stop that. And now they did come back, in fairness, they did come back and add some more penalties on those folks. And so they can lose their license at this point. But, you know, it's still I feel like there's more fines on the kids than there are on the sellers. And when you're weighing adults versus kids, you always put the onus on adults.
Of course. And I think, in my humble opinion, I think those fines should be routed to a fund that helps children who are addicted to nicotine already, into cessation programs.
Yes. Well, right now they're they're routed to a phony data registry that is a duplicate of what the federal government already does. Yeah. And a lot of this is nothing more than Big Tobacco, who has an interest in e-cigarettes, trying to muddy the water so that they can put the little vaping shops, the little e-cigarette stores, out of business and take control. The thing is that Sue Bell Cobb and Children First need to take a good, hard look at who they hire. Mm-hmm. And they really, in my mind, should be hiring people that take money from Big Tobacco. But that's just my opinion. George Clark, a longtime fixture of Alabama politics, the head of Manufacturer Alabama, wrote an op-ed that appeared in the Alabama Political Reporter this week, Susan, and where he talked about the importance of having child care for the working families of Alabama, and pointed out with data that a vast swath of Alabama's working families do not have appropriate or adequate child care available to them within their area.
Right, and a study showed that in 2022, nearly 85,000 Alabama families needed child care, but there's nothing available to them currently in their area. Now, we all know that, especially single moms. I mean, that's a big issue with single moms. And families that are below the poverty line, this is a big deal to be able to get the women in their families back to work. But child care is also, it's a lot of times when you take a child to child care, as you well know, Josh, it's super expensive. And it you end up paying more for child care than the mother or the father would actually make in going to work.
And Josh, you know, there's tax incentives in a bill by Representative Anthony Daniels, Democrat, mm-hmm. and Garland Gudger, Republican, that would give tax incentives to businesses to have on-site child care facilities, mm-hmm. and for parents to have tax credits to have some type of help with the child care. You know this issue well.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is the single biggest impediment to increasing our workforce. Right now is child care. The access to child care, the ability to afford child care. It is super expensive everywhere. I know what we pay, and it is a remarkable sum of money. And, you know, it's crazy to think about this. And, you know, what's even crazier is to think that for a long period of time during COVID, we did this. We paid, the federal government gave an extended tax break to folks to pay for child care. And it worked wonders for people to be able to afford this, to put a little extra money towards that child care service. If you would do that right now in the state of Alabama and provide those services and increase the demand and the ability for people to pay for those services, that you would have the child care and you would put those people back in the workforce. But right now, when you're talking about paying $1,000 a month for a child to go to daycare for a while, well, if you're a working mom and you can make, you know, a few hundred bucks at an at-home job where you're answering calls for customer service or whatever, just sitting at home with your child, that's money in your pocket, and, you know, and you're not paying the child care costs. And so you're not getting that, you're not putting those folks back in the full-time workforce.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it right there, but good job on George Clark, Anthony Daniels,
yes, Carl
McGutcher.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. And you know, I rushed through that congratulations on them, but, you know, let's just hope that Garland Gudger and Anthony Daniels can get something on this before we run out of time.
Yes.
The legislation, Josh, to reduce the grocery tax has slowly evolved. Right now, the bill looks like the one that would go into a law reduces the grocery tax by 1% this year, and then 1% every year after, until it's down to zero from 4%. But also, it only will be enacted if the Alabama Education Trust Fund has a grew at least 2% annually, mm-hmm. right?
So. Yeah, it's hilarious, isn't it, to see the things that sail through the state house, and you know, if you're trying to limit transgender athletes in college, boy, you got that is like a greased bill going through there. And but if you want to somehow or another help out poor people not to, you know, pay extra taxes to eat, we got to have committees study this thing left and right and dissect it, and spend 5 years before we can pull it down to zero and everything else. And it's nonsense. At the same time, you know, what kills you about this is at the same time that these discussions are going on, we up the price of a prison by $350 million just in a back room somewhere, you know? The absurdity of some of these things where we dissect every little thing that's going to help out the working folks of this state, at the same time, we just throw money at other stuff that is, our priorities are so messed up sometimes.
Well, I have to think about what Wanda Sykes recently said, comedian Wanda Sykes. She said, until a drag queen walks into a school and beats 8 kids to death with a copy of To Kill a Mockingbird, we're concentrating on the wrong stuff. She used a different word, but yeah.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
But I think Wanda's got it right there. But, you know, again, this is to give a moderate helping hand to those working folks that pay, you know, a lot just for groceries right now because of inflation.
Inflation is ridiculous.
But, it would help them out a lot, but it doesn't seem like we've got a gracious willingness to help the poor. I mean,
we ever had a gracious willingness to help the poor? And it's just, I don't know, man. To watch this and to watch people do the phony agonizing over, oh, can we afford this? Oh, can we afford? Oh, I just don't know. I just don't know if we can afford this, you know, while we toss money, you know, $1 million or try to toss $1 million to this crazy program and at Troy and you know, and other things. It's just, you know, it's your priorities, okay? What are your priorities in this state as a lawmaker? What's your priorities? Is it to promote nonsense? Is it to do things to pander for votes? Or is it to actually help people?
Josh, you've already gotten into the whole next deal we're going to talk about. You just jump right in there.
No, sorry.
But that's
okay.
Right.
That's perfect transition.
I think that, you know, it's really about, I think most of us, mm-hmm. especially those of us in the media that watch politics for a living, you know, we are often much more critical than anyone else, and, mm-hmm. and our job is
with good reason.
Yeah, but I mean, most of us, and I think most people, want a competent government, a government that does competent things and helps people live a little bit better, right?
Yeah,
and be a little bit freer and a little bit more prosperous. But what we have is governments that pander to the least common denominator, the hate and the fears mm-hmm. of individuals, so that they can stay in office. Mm-hmm. And this is where the problem comes. It's like what you're saying. This is a hard bill to pass, the gas tax, because, yeah, it's going to take doing something over on this side to balance out the need to cut tax over here. But we cut taxes all the time for political purposes. You know,
we can
do this now.
Yeah, you know, I think a big problem here is the fact that we are a one-party state and that we have gerrymandered the hell out of this place, you know. And so right now, a tiny fraction of the voting population is controlling most of what flows through our legislature. That's the important stuff. The important stuff is that hateful stuff that drives the base, you know, the fanatic right-wing base of this state. And that's just the bare bones fact of it right now, okay?
Yeah.
We're a one-party state. If we were a one-party Democratic state, there would probably be a lot of ultra-liberal things that flowed through this state house, this year. But we're not. We're the exact opposite of that. And so, you know, that's why we've got the number one thing that if you want to fix this state, the number one thing we can do is fix the gerrymandering issue. All right? That's the only thing that's ever going to solve this thing.
Guess what? That's not going to happen.
But, you know, if you look at now, I don't think the grocery tax is as aggressive as it should be. The rebate checks, whatever. You know, it's and you look at the child care bills. Okay, those are three that are actually designed to help people in Alabama. Maybe not as much as we want, but if they could focus more on that than on divisive concepts, this transgender issue, this ESG. Now, I know those get headlines, but they don't help anybody.
No.
Yeah.
They don't. But if you go back to the fundamentals, the grocery tax, the rebates, child care, that's what Alabama needs. Those are actually policy issues.
And I think the problem is that we always seem to prioritize politics, in other words, what will get me reelected, over policies that will actually promote competence in government. Because they rely on voters being ignorant. Mm-hmm. They rely on people not knowing what's going on.
Well, they rely on watching Fox News instead of what's happening here in the state.
I mean, again, you talk to people who only feed on a constant diet of one news source or another, and they do become more indoctrinated into that. Speaking of which, one of the lawmakers, I can't remember who it was, got up and talked about children being indoctrinated in schools. And so one of our reporters, Jacob Holmes, went over and he said, well, Mr. So-and-so, can you give me an example of indoctrination? No, but it's happening. That's what I mean.
No.
Yeah, and because indoctrination is cool now. We're indoctrinating kids in school.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're indoctrinating them with learning. But
if they'd stop pulling the library books out of the library, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
We need to burn more books, you know? I mean, but that's where we're at. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. Some good things happening. The legislature should go home this coming week.
Yes.
At least until they sign E-Dot.
Right, which is going to be probably in June.
In June. All right, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.